Welcome back to WBOI Presents. I'm Ben Clemmer. Before we begin our episode this hour, I want to say thank you. WBOI Presents continues to be a locally focused program thanks to local and regional partnerships. This episode was recorded at Cordier Auditorium at Manchester University in North Manchester as part of their Values, Ideas, and the Arts series. We're about to hear from an alumna of the university, Carissa Fralin, and to introduce her, we'll hear from Manchester University's own Xander Willoughby. Please enjoy the show.
My name is Xander Willoughby. I'm the Peace Studies Coordinator here at Manchester. I'm happy to introduce Carissa Fralin, a 1991 Manchester graduate of Peace Studies and Psychology. After Manchester, she did her Master's of Social Work at the University of Denver. Today, she is currently working for an initiative through the State of Colorado Governor's Office to integrate behavioral health and primary care throughout the state. Her specific role is as the Program Implementation Manager, which oversees and manages all programmatic changes in the state. In her work, Carissa brings the skills, knowledge, and values she learned here at Manchester to make the world a better place through her work in Colorado. Please join me in welcoming Carissa Fralin.
All right, so let's get started and talk a little bit about access to behavioral health services. We're going to get into some definitions in a minute so that we're all thinking about the same thing when I'm talking about behavioral health. But let's start with a scenario. As we think about providing medical care to people, we often think about it in terms of a person gets sick and they go to their doctor. And they ask that doctor for a service or to help them feel better or to help them heal something, and then they leave, and that's it. No more. We can't talk about taking care of a person's physical body without thinking about looking at the person as a whole. What are all the other pieces of that person's life that are going on, that are happening, that they're dealing with right now that impacts what their physical self looks like? So here's the scenario. A man goes in to see his doctor. He says, I just don't feel good. I don't know what's going on. I can't figure it out. I just don't feel good. Doctor says, okay, let's see if we can't figure that out. So she asks a lot of questions. She runs some tests, maybe takes some blood. Comes back and says, well, here's your diagnosis. You have diabetes. That's what's going on. It's why you don't feel good. So here's what you need to do. You need to eat better. You need to exercise more. You need to make sure you drink enough water. And you need to take this insulin. Here's all that you need to do. Thanks. Man goes home. 3 weeks later, he comes back. I still don't feel great, doc. I just don't know what's quite going on here. Well, are you eating any differently? Well, no, I can't really eat much differently because my family doesn't have a lot of extra money and vegetables and meats are really expensive. So we have to eat and we just, you know, get fast food. Well, are you exercising more? No, I don't have time to exercise. I have to take 2 buses to get to my job and then my kids are off from school and I have to go get them. Well, are you drinking more water? I'm not allowed to carry water on my job. Well, are you taking the insulin? Yep, that I'm doing. So one out of four, he's able to follow. Doc says, well, you really need to incorporate those other things into your life. So try and do that. You'll start to feel better. 3 weeks later, the man comes back. I still don't feel good. Same story, same reasons why. That's no longer a medical issue. That's no longer a medical issue. The man has already been diagnosed. We know what the problem is. We've been given a treatment plan, but he can't follow it. That's behavioral health. That's behavior change. He's got to have somebody who can help him figure out how to get good food on the table, how to fit in walking or some kind of physical exercise, and how to drink more water throughout the day. That's what he needs. That's what we're going to talk about today. So I'm going to start with a little bit about Colorado. SIM is funded through CMMI. One thing you'll learn about the healthcare world is that we love acronyms. CMMI stands for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation. It's a federally funded program through CMS, or the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. and they fund specifically things that are innovative for states to try. State of Colorado wrote a proposal and received $65 million from the federal government to integrate behavioral health into primary care and to prepare primary care providers for an alternative way to get paid. That's key because Medicare is leading the way on how doctors are getting paid. They're changing it up. Commercial payers are following. Medicaid in each state is following. They're going to have to because the federal government is setting it up. So what that means is right now we live in mostly fee-for-service world, right? We go in, we need a service, we pay a fee for that service. Now we're going to start seeing quality, a whole group of people, the quality of their overall care by that clinic. Is it good care? Is it not so good care? They're going to get paid based on that, not based on how many fees they charge and how many tests they run. So that's an important part of the shift that's starting to happen in healthcare. The SIM office was created in the governor's office. Our photo up there is of Governor Hickenlooper. He's the tall guy. And my direct supervisor is Barbara Martin. She's the woman in the glasses. They are visiting with a clinic in Colorado Springs who is one that is practicing integration through the money that was given to SIM. SIM puts money into over 300 primary care clinics throughout the state of Colorado. They also fund 4 community mental health centers, which I'll talk about a little bit later. They also fund 8 local public health agencies and 2 what we call behavioral health transition communities. I love it. Behavioral health transition communities. It's a community mental health center paired with a school district, and they're working on helping kids get healthier in their school system. We have an advisory board that's governor appointed. Our steering committee and all the work groups below, that's the workhorses of our team. We have almost 200 stakeholders statewide who participate in these groups. We have the largest stakeholder community of all the SIM states, of which there are 28. So we're really proud of the work that we're doing. We feel like we're moving forward in integration, and here's why I think it's important. We're going to start talking a little bit about definitions, so we're all thinking about the same thing. So first, social justice. What is social justice? It's a state or a doctrine of egalitarianism, right? It means things are equal, things are just, things are fair. That's an important part of what integration ends up looking like. Behavioral health, let's define it a little. We heard about our patient earlier who got diagnosed with diabetes. That's a part of behavioral health, that behavior change. How do we help people change the behaviors that they need to change in order to take better care of their physical bodies? So that's one part. Another part is mental health or mental illness, recognizing mental illness. That's one we don't like to talk about a lot. We're going to talk about it today. Substance use disorder, another one we don't like to talk about. We'll talk about that a little bit today as well. Those are the 3 key parts to behavioral health. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about behavioral health. Could be any of those 3, could be all of those 3.
WBOI Presents will continue after a short break. Stay tuned.